Okay, so we're in the middle of the piece, Mishnah Yud, on page Chaf Hey, right? We're in the middle of the paragraph. So, Nachmal. So, on the words Ev es Malacha, that a person should love Malacha. So, what does that mean to love Malacha? So that's what the Kamari was telling us, is that the inyan of work, which is all sort of any form of labor, any form of effort of whether again for parnasa or just to live. Is categorized by the Lamed Tes Malachas, which we don't do on Shabbos, but you do during the week. So he says, Evas Malacha, a person should love work. In other words, a person should, as we saw last time, is that everything that the Rabbanu Shalom puts in front of us that we have to do, whether it be for Parnasa or just to, things that come our way, we have to know that it's Tikkunim, we're being Misak in the world, we're being Misak in Neshamas. And there's a part of a yid that's connected to everything in the world. And if there's a piece of the world that needs fixing, there's a carburetor, like I gave the example yesterday, that needs repair. That means there's a part of a yid somewhere that needs repairing. And when I'm fixing that carburetor, I'm fixing that neshama, and I'm making a little piece of the world that much more closer to its personal redemption. And that's something that has to, and that therefore a person should love it. You know, it's connected to the Parsha Grad. What does it say? Well, Yaakov Avinu, when he Vayvaser Yaakov Avada, Yaakov is left alone, right? And then Vayavik Yishima, he has the wrestling match with the Malach Avesav. Why is he alone? What happened? Right? So Rashi says, Chazal say that he brought his whole family over the Maver Yabuk, the river over there. But he forgot Pachim Katanim. He forgot little jugs. He says, I forgot that, so he went back by himself. So Rashi says from Chazal, you see that tzaddikim are very makbid, even on a pruta, even on a small amount of money, small kalim, they'll be meiser nefesh. Yaakov is literally risking his life, right? He puts himself in danger in order to get to find these pachim tam, that they shouldn't be left behind. So the answer, Lamai says, what's pshat? I mean, these are small little jugs, what's the... So the answer is that everything Yaakov Avinu owns... our neshamas. These are everything in his possession is the manifestation of some of neshamas of Jews, of neshamas of his descendants. So big property means big neshamas. Small jugs means small little neshamas. And Yaakov Avinu, the tzaddik, is meiser nefesh for every single one of his things because he understands. Avos Malacha, he understands it. In taking care of even the pachim ketanim, needs taking care of neshamas. That's what there's a tradition from the Rishonim already, that this effort of Yaakov Avinu to rescue, so to speak, and to protect the Pachim Ketanim was sort of laying the groundwork for the Pachach HaShel Shemen, for the little jar of oil for Chanukah, the story of Chanukah. Because that's what the irony of Chanukah is, you know, a little bit on the side, but it's connected to this. So big property represents big neshama. Small little things represent small neshama. So Yaakov Avinu is being Moser Nefesh for Pachim Ketanim, for the small jugs. So the usual way to think of that is that even though they're small, and even though those neshamas we can think of as like throwaway neshamas, despite that, Yaakov Avinu is still sacrificing himself and putting himself in danger in order to help them out. It's Gevalt Gezach. But the answer is like this. Ratzadik has a Torah. Rav Tzadik says like this, you know, oil always represents wisdom, right? The pasuk says in Mishlei, Shemen al roishcha layechzer, that a person should always have oil on his head. In other words, wisdom. Shemen represents wisdom. So so Rav Tzadik says like this, he writes in one place that at the time, so we say, Gemara says, we say it in time, Timokol Hashmanim, right? That the Greeks contaminated all the oils. So what does that mean? It means that all the wisdom of the Jewish people, like every Talmud Chacham, was tainted. It was tainted. It was mixed up with like either corrupt ideas or just self-interest. Timbu Kol Hashmanim. The Yevonim had their tentacles in all the oils, except for Pachach Shel Shemen, right? It was Munach B'Chay Somi Shel Kohen Gadol. So what is, whose mind was untainted? Like who was still holding on to the real truth? So you think it must have been the kind of gobble. It's true. But Pach Echad Shel Shemen, but one little jar that was only enough to last one day. Ratzadik says it was the wisdom of the Ami Ha'aretz. It was the Ami Ha'aretz, the simple folk that weren't educated b'chlal, so they didn't go to university either. You know what I'm saying? They were completely You know, they were just simple, simple, and they went with that. Reb Tzadik writes that sometimes there are certain deep truths that the Hamoy Nam, that the multitude, the masses of Yidden, the Pachim Ketanim, are able to hold on to and to have like the sort of that instinctual, pure oil from which you can then, recreate and sort of from there grow all the other oils and to regenerate the system. But that's what the Pach Echad Shel Shemen represents. So it's not just, it's not only that he's going back, despite the fact that they're tiny little jars, is still moistened. To a certain degree, every other oil can be contaminated, but it's the Pach Echad Shel Shemen that can't be. So that's, but going back, that's why, like the Baal Shem, like the Mishnah is saying, Eves Malacha, to work to anything that the Rabban Hashem gives a person, it's to be taken seriously, Baal Tashchis is not a small thing, it's besides it being an Isser by itself, a Baal Tashchis, it's also like, these are, if the Rabban Hashem gives a person something, it's for a reason. Okay, so let's see, let's continue on. So we're up to, towards the end of the second line, Pesach Chafei. They said, everyone has to be involved with some sort of work, some sort of effort. And that's what Hashem gives a person, what they need, what their corner is. Now, what's unique to the Talmud Chacham is that a Talmud Chacham also has to be involved in Malacha. And there's Lamentes Malacha, so a person has to be involved with Malacha. The Chiddush is that there are some neshamas that their lot in life is to be Isaac in fixing the neshamas and being a sack in the world, but on a deeper plane. Everyone is involved with the same effort. It's just some people are involved with it more through external engagement, and some people are involved with it in more internal engagement. But everyone is, on the same, conveyor belt type of line. What's it called? Assembly line. Roll. Some people are in the earlier stages of it, some people are in the later stages of it, but we're all being misakin the thing. Ki Esek HaTorah is also Mavar, Kama Esek B'malacha B'yichudim. Torah is also making Birurim and sifting and being Esek B'malacha, just like physical work is, and they reflect each other. That's what Yisachar Zvulun, right? They're partners in it. That's why the Lamed Tes Malachas reflect itself in the avoda of clarifying halacha, clarifying gemara, the effort that is involved in learning, tal Torah. That's the term that Chazal used, is the do of Torah. Tal is also, again, the same letters as lama tes. Geshem, so he quotes the gemara, geshem sha'atar nitna bebris, kacha malacha nitna bebris. So Chazal says such a thing, that just as Torah was given with a covenant, so too work was given with a covenant. And what's the connection between Torah and malacha? Well, the answer is that's what the gemara is trying to say, is that they're both involved with the same inyan. So you have people that are sitting in Kaila and learning, working through complexities and fixing broken sugyas in Yevamos. And then you have people that are working on carburetors, working on ideas in physics, working on ideas in industry and business. And they're also trying to work out broken systems. They're both partners together. One is working they're all both working on fixing souls, on fixing the world. One is working on it in a more, sort of panini level, and one is working on a chitzani level. But ultimately, the only way the job is done is through both of them. That's the only way it's going to happen. That is the Metzius. What is that? How affects the way you engage in work in many ways. First of all, it makes it inherently meaningful. Usually, the way a person, even like a very from and good guy, the way they approach it is like you want to turn it l'shem shemayim. You turn it into an avodah. How so? Well, I'm working in order to make money. What am I going to do with my money? I'll be able to give tzedakah, I'll support my family, do mitzvahs with it. So memela, when I go to work and I'm dealing with this guy who's making me crazy, whatever it is, I'm trying to make this deal and all these inyanim, the reason why it's significant, the reason why I can get out of bed in the morning is because if it does work out, then I'll make a significant amount of money. And if I make the right amount of money and no other, you know, bills come my way that I don't expect, then I'll be able to give tzedakah and then it'll all be worthwhile. That could work for some people, but I don't know. I couldn't be motivated like that. But the answer is that this is the avoid itself is tachlis. Avis amalocha, love work. In other words, money that a person makes, obviously that's still true, right? Obviously the money that you make and the tzedakah that you give certainly is a mitzvah, and that does define the whole effort as one big avoda leading towards the mitzvah tzedakah, for sure. But there's another aspect, which is every single Jew, like I said, every single Jew has a particular avoda in this world to do, right? So if a Navi came to you and a Navi said, you know, Yanko, Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, your avoda in life is mincha. Mincha is your inyan. Then you know what you would do? You would, b'simcha rabba, you'd be jumping for joy every time mincha came. And if a Navi called and said, Koyamar Hashem, your avoda in life is Maseches Megillah. Maseches Megillah is your tikkun, that's your avoda. All the neshamas of the Jewish people that need tikkun, through you, it's going and that you're responsible for, it's through the lens of Maseches Megillah. Then you know what you would do? Maseches Megillah Baal Peh, right? That's what that would be your thing. And let's say that Navi came to the Navi said, your avoda is, again, every single Jew is responsible to fix all of the neshamas that they're connected to through a particular route, through a particular path. So one guy's path is Mincha, another guy's path is Maseches Megillah. And the Navi comes and says, your avoda is, the way you're going to fix all the neshamas that you can is through helping people in their taxes, by being an accountant. So you know what you would do? Jumping for joy to be an accountant, right? Every single day, the more complicated the situation, the better. And you wouldn't ask to be paid for it, right? Why would you be paid for it? Because otherwise, you pasha can't live. So you don't have a Navi now. So, but it's still true. So how do you know if your avoda is being an accountant? So the answer is, b'derech hateva, if a person through the money is the arrow pointing you in the direction of what you're supposed to be doing anyway. You're not working in order to make money. The fact that you need to make a living and the way sort of the tide of life has taken you is to be an accountant, that's the Navi. The money is the Navi telling you what you need to be doing. So when you go to work, I mean, you're not an accountant, I know, but like if you go to work as an accountant, right? So then that is the tachlis. How do I know that this is my path and it's not being a doctor, and it's not being, you know, a captain of a ship. I don't know, a fisherman. How do I know? So the answer is that the tide of life, the hashgacha pratis in my life, didn't take me to be a fisherman. So I have no reason to think that I would be a fisherman. I have to, like, the Rabban Hashem talks to us through Derech HaTeva. So for Derech HaTeva, my background, my associations, just like everything led to this parnasa. You know, and it makes sense, and it's obviously a mutter dikup. You know, Shulchan Aruch says it's okay. My talents say it's okay. It's working out for me. So then that means that's a Navi telling you your avoid is to fix neshamas through accounting.
What's the whole shayla?
That question of ishtadus and bitachin is people always think of it in terms of like hours. There is no way. So there's no, and that's an impossible. It's an impossible question to answer, because you literally need Navi. Like, how many hours? I don't know. And usually when the person that's being asked that is someone that's like a Rav or a Rebbe, someone, I have no I don't know what your business is. How am I supposed to tell you how many hours? I have no idea. Like, so you can read the Rambam and, you know, other Svarim. It's like, okay, you know, you work 4 hours a day. The rest, it's like, that's not practical. The answer is the question of Ishtadus versus Bitachin. Don't think of it in terms of hours. Don't think of it in terms of physical effort. Think of it as mental. If a person is not working all day because of bitachon, but he's anxious and worried about paying his bills, that's not bitachon, right? And fakert, and if a person's working hard all day, but he's working with his hands, but his head is still clear, and he trusts Hashem, and he knows that what he's doing is just making kalim for the brachas to come that Hashem decided anyway. And when he's doing his work, he's thinking to himself, Hashem is with me, and I'm being misaka in my nesham, I'm being misaka in the world, I'm doing my avoda. And this is a Navi telling me that this is my avoda, so I'm doing it b'simcha rabba. That's called bitachin. And when a person has the right mindset, then the question of hours it'll settle itself. But the real question of hishtadlus versus bitachon is more mental. How is my blood pressure doing throughout the day? Not so much how many hours am I spending. That's not the hours will work themselves out. But it's more in the head. Yeah, and that's all. How much time? And again, like, neshamas are fluid. Things are fluid. So the guy's an accountant for a few years, and then something comes up, and b'derech hateva, you know, there should be a pivoting to another field. Okay. Again, Hashem speaks to us through these channels of teva. Teva means, obviously, what's available to a person. It means, it goes without saying, what's mutter, what's asi, if the guy would go with Shulchan Aruch, you know. It goes with, you know, it depends on what person's talents are. All the normal, healthy, religious ways to determine what a person should be doing, well, once, always with the goal of making a parnasa, well, then that's the Navi, Kaimar Hashem, that's your Avaida. And then you do the Avaida not because of all the reasons, you do it because of a malacha, because it's a tikkun, it's an Avaida that you have to do. Yeah. No. For the time being, supposedly, yeah. Yeah. Well, sorry.
Supposedly.
And so what?
Rebbe's talking a lot about following this teva. Yeah. Which is the teva that we is American culture, but you need to make a lot of money in order to survive.
The pratis dika questions, it's going to be hard to answer, but pratis, how much money does a person need, depending on the neighbor, depending on the background, the kids. That's what a person, you know, again, there's a number of algorithms in place, but, you know, it's hard to, you know, I can't tell you how much, what's considered standard, what's considered beyond. A person has to daven very much. Don't underestimate a person's daven. You have to daven that the Rebbeinu Shem should give you clarity and give a person clarity to not just do what they're supposed to be doing, but not to overwork. You know, davening is very much required with that. But again, a person should be happy. A person shouldn't stick out. A person doesn't have to be, you know, under the standards. You know,
So
davening is important zach. Davening is important zach. Listen, you know, next week's part, the Yeshiv Yaakov Beretz Meguri Yovel, right? Bikish Yaakov Leishiv B'Shalva. So, whether we like it or not, you know, Yaakov wanted to be at peace, and Hashem says to Yaakov, what, you tzaddikim, you want Olam Haba, Olam Hazu also. You can have Olam Haba, you want Olam Hazu also, nothing to it. So the Ishbitzer said, what's the peace that Yaakov is looking for? It's time to relax. The peace that Yaakov was looking for was clarity. Yaakov didn't say to Rav Shalom, I will work like a dog, but just let me know exactly what you want to the T. Let me know exactly what I want, that I shouldn't have any sveikus. Like, my motivations are pure. I want to do the right thing, but I just don't know. Maybe I'll mess up. Maybe I'm overworking, underworking, doing this, the wrong thing. Like, it's like the famous, you don't get the Shemaim and, you know, and the Talmud Chacham goes to Shemaim, and they say, the Rosh Hashanah asks, no, where are the shoes that you were supposed to be making? Like, I don't need this Svarim. Where's the shoes? And the shoemaker gets up to Shemaim, they're like, where's the Svarim that you're supposed to produce, right? So you don't want to have that doubt of like, oh my gosh, maybe my whole life is a mistake, right? So Bikish Yaakov Lev Yishol, Yaakov wants peace. And what does Hashem say to him? Oh, you want Olam Hazo also. You want Olam Hazo also. That's not the way it is. Hashem, the life is uncertain. And there's never, it's very... very rare where will a person have clarity. You can have layers of clarity, right? So in the beginning, you might be uncertain about b'chla, what you should be doing. And then life settles in, and then it already becomes clear that you're probably doing the right thing. But now the doubts take a more subtle form, which is, maybe this meant hours. Should I get involved with this guy, that guy? What's good for my ruchnis? What's that? There's always going to be some level of doubt. That's Bikish Yaakov Leishiv B'Shalva and Kav Sal of Ragzir Shal Yosef. That's the Metzias. The answer is, that's part of Bitachon also, is the trust that the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to allow you to mess up your life completely, unless you're trying to mess up your life. If you're trying to do the right thing, right? Like I said, Reb Nosson writes this. He says that a person, whenever decisions a person has to make, you always have to find that North Star. Like, what is the North Star? Like, why am I doing this? And really try to clarify to yourself, to the best of your abilities, the ultimate why. Like, why am I doing this? And when you hold on to that why, to that North Star, so to speak, and you daven to Hashem that you should be able to, you know, make the right decisions, then guess what? Then you're going to make, then that's the right decision. That's all a person can do. That's part of bitachon, is to trust that the Rabbanu Shalom, not just that there's a God out there, but the Rabbanu Shalom is guiding my life as long as I'm, to the best of my ability, making myself open to His guidance. Then I have to trust that the Rabbanu Shalom is a bayrei umanhig, right? Emunah means that Hashem created the world and He guides the world. So we tend to think, what does it mean Hashem guides the world? It means that that He makes the wind blow and He makes it rain. But my life, I'm messing that up. That's on me, right? There's obviously such a thing as free will. But if a person has decisions to make, and there's only so much clarity you could have. How are you supposed to know the future? You don't know the future. So the answer is you do the best you can to make the right decisions, b'derech ha-teva, and with the effort of clarifying to yourself the ultimate why I'm doing this, and you daven to Hashem that you should make the right decisions, then guess what? Then you have to trust that Hashem is the bayrei and the manhig. And then you do, and then you did everything your part, and then you say to Rabbanu Shalom, Asisi Ashili, I did my part, and then you trust that Rabbanu Shalom is telling you, taking you to the right place. What else are you supposed to do? But to have absolute certainty, that's not for the maza. That's not for the maza. So we do the best you can. You make the decisions that make the most sense financially, family-wise, societal, as crazy as society might be, you do the best you can. You clarify to yourself always, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? That's your North Star. You daven to Hashem. Those are the three things. You do what's normal, what's b'derech ha-teva. You try to contemplate, why am I doing this? Clarify your motivations as best as you can. Daven to Hashem that you should make the right decision. You have those three things. Then you fall back and you say, okay, the Rabbanu Shalom is demonic. And clearly what I'm doing, I'm being guided like that. Does that mean that I'm stubborn about it? And if something happens to clarify that maybe it's taka off, I'm not going to be stubborn about it. I'll pivot if I need to. But that's what else am I supposed to do? That's what the Avos HaKadoshim showed us, that you don't expect clarity. You do the best you can. That's all. Okay. It's all good. You have a good day. Yeah.